We're going to talk about two prophets, Elijah and Elisha. This will be the first of a two-part series. A friend was really tired of hearing Muhammad Ali boast about his physical prowess. His constant claiming, "I am the best," was wearing thin. So a colleague asked him how he did at golf. Ali replied, "I'm the best. I just haven't played yet." Prophetic boasting. In the Old Testament, we have the books of prophecy. The major prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, and the minor prophets like Hosea and Joel. There were also two important prophets who had not written any books themselves. These two prophets were Elijah and Elisha. Would all these prophets boast? They were not there. The credibility of any prophet is the fulfillment of his prediction. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 22, "When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him." This Bible study compares the ministries of those two prophets who had not written any books themselves. This Bible study compares the prophetic ministries of Elijah and Elisha. In what follows, I will show that there are five differences and three similarities between Elijah and Elisha. And throughout the study, I'll be referring to scriptural verses to back up what has been said. First of all, we have Roman numeral 1, the differences between Elijah and Elisha. The differences between Elijah and Elisha. The prophetic ministries of Elijah and Elisha are brought before us in 1 Kings chapters 17 to 22. The record of their ministries is continued in the book of 2 Kings. Elisha was the successor to Elijah. He extended Elijah's ministry in the power of the Lord. Elijah is known as the prophet of fire. Elisha, in contrast, is aptly called the prophet of water. You'll see why later. Insofar as the number of miracles is concerned, Elisha seems to roughly double the miracles performed by Elijah. Elijah's ministry involved 5 miracles, while Elisha's ministry involved 12 miracles. The miracles of Elijah's ministry were mainly spectacular. Elisha's ministry, on the other hand, involved 12 small or minor miracles. As for the length of service, Elijah had flourished in the reigns of 2 kings, Ahab and Ahaziah, while Elisha served through the reigns of 4 kings, namely Jehoram or Joram, Jehu, Jehoahaz, and Jehoash or Joash. Thus, Elisha would have a ministry several times as long as Elijah's. According to John J. Davis and John C. Wickham, Elijah's prophetic ministry lasted for less than a decade, but Elisha served a period of at least 55 years. Another commentator places the length of Elisha's ministry at about 60 years. So we will place Elijah's number of years of service as less than 10, and Elisha's number of years of service as greater or equal to 55. Apart from all these, there seems to be almost just as many similarities between the two prophets as there are differences. Let's now look at Roman numeral 2, the similarities between Elijah and Elisha. the similarities between Elijah and Elisha. And letter A, both were men of faith. Both were men of faith. An American astronaut lay strapped into his capsule, ready to be launched, when a reporter asked via radio, "How do you feel?" "How would you feel," the astronaut replied, "if you were sitting on top of 150,000 parts, each supplied by the lowest bidder?" So much for being a man of faith. A man fell off a cliff, and at the last minute as he fell, happened to grab hold of a branch. As he dangled in space, he was filled with terror and called out toward heaven, "Is there anyone up there?" A calm, powerful voice came out of the sky. "Yes, there is." The tourist pleaded, "Can you help me? Can you help me?" The calm voice replied, "Yes, I can. Simply let loose of the branch and everything will turn out fine." There was a tense pause. Then the tourist yelled, "Is there anyone else up there?" So much for being a man of faith. But both Elijah and Elisha were men of faith, and their faith was in God. A judgment had been pronounced in 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1 concerning the years of famine that would begin. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." No sooner had this judgment been pronounced, God commanded Elijah, his servant, to leave. "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 3. So Elijah went there in obedience to the will of the Lord. Someone once commented, "When you say I'm a man of faith, then you're also a man of obedience." When you say, "I'm a man of faith," then you're also a man of obedience. Elijah obeyed the Lord, so he was a man of faith. What about Elisha? Towards the end of his ministry, Elijah was journeying to the place where he would be taken up to heaven. And Elisha was loyal in accompanying Elijah on his final march towards heaven. I'm sure glad Uncle Rudy is not here. He'll be fuming at seeing this picture. Elisha was loyal in accompanying Elijah on his final march towards heaven. For such loyalty on Elisha's part in accompanying Elijah, when asked what he would, the request that Elisha made in 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 9 was this: "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Someone made this comment, "Though this is a hard thing to ask according to his master, it nevertheless shows Elisha's inexorable faith." Elisha believed incessantly that he would have a double portion of Elijah's spirit. He was a man of faith. By the way, here's a joke I've heard. A pastor boarded an airplane to take the first flight he had ever flown. As they were about to take off, the flight attendant noticed his panicky look and his white knuckles as he gripped the seat in semi-terror. She walked over to the pastor and said, "Sir, I'm surprised at you. You are obviously a man of faith. You shouldn't be so nervous about flying. Don't you have any faith in God?" The pastor looked at her and said, "Look, young lady, the promise in scripture is, 'Lo, I'm with you always.' It doesn't say anything about high." Now, for a more serious thought. Are we men and women of faith? Michael and his wife try to make prayer something they do for all their needs, concerns and joys. Their 3-year-old daughter recently got an ouchie. Jenny said, "Mommy, will you pray to Jesus to make it better?" So Mommy prayed a brief and simplistic prayer. As soon as she said amen, Jenny said, "Well, what did he say?" Oh, for the faith of a child to want and expect such clear and direct answers out of the mouth of babes. What about us? Helen Hayes, the actress, tells the following story in the autobiography. It was Thanksgiving Day, and she was cooking her first turkey dinner for her family. Before serving it, she announced to her husband, Charles MacArthur, and their son, James, "Now I know this is the first turkey I've ever cooked. If it isn't any good, I don't want anybody to say a word. We'll just get up from the table without comment and go out to a restaurant to eat." Then she returned to the kitchen. When she entered the dining room bearing the turkey, she found her husband and son seated at the table with their hats and coats on. Obviously, they didn't have much faith in ability to cook a turkey. At times, we are like that with regard to God. We have problems. We pray to God for help. Then we sit back and expect the worst to happen. We don't have much faith in Him. We don't really trust Him. Aren't we like that at times? A young woman made an appointment for an interview with a prestigious corporation. She asked if she could get into their well-respected training program. The very busy personnel manager, besieged by applications, said, "Impossible now. Come back in about 10 years. The applicant responded, "Would morning or afternoon be better?" Dear friends, this is the kind of faith we should have. And when things go awry, would you still have faith? During his many appearances in Summerstock, in the role of Tervia in Fiddler on the Roof, Robert Merrill had learned to expect the unexpected. One night on stage, he said, "As I implored God to give me a replacement for my horse, which had lost its shoe, suddenly a small spotted dog walked onto the stage. I looked up again and added fervently, 'Oh God, please try again.'" Some of you may laugh, but the moral of the story is that we ought to still have faith. When things go awry, would you still have faith? Whether you're a basketball fan or not, you're probably familiar with the name Larry Bird, the former basketball great of the Boston Celtics. During a retirement party for Larry Bird in Boston Garden, former Celtics coach K.C. Jones told of diagramming a play on the sidelines only to have Bird dismiss it, saying, "Get the ball to me and get everyone out of the way." Jones responded, "I'm the coach and I'll call the plays." Then Jones turned to the other players and said, "Get the ball to Larry and get out of the way." That's the Bible message, folks. Give the ball to Jesus. Put your life in His hands and get out of the way. Have faith. That's a B. Both were men of God. Both were men of God. When Elijah took the child, brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him to his mother, he said in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 23, "See, thy son liveth." And the widow of Zarephath said to Elijah in the following verse, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." Similarly, Elisha was addressed by the Shunammite woman, the sons of the prophets, and Ben-Hadad the first as men of God in 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 9, chapter 4 verse 16, chapter 4 verse 22, chapter 4 verse 40, and chapter 8 verse 8. The Bible itself also calls him man of God in 17 other passages. As mentioned earlier, Elisha requested for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. We need to understand that this double portion was not simply twice as much of something, but was the portion of the firstborn son, twice as much as any other son, but especially with the authority and privileges of the firstborn. The point is that Elisha would be Elijah's true successor in the prophetic ministry, and hence also a man of God. In fact, later on, God parted the waters of the Jordan as Elisha smote the waters with Elijah's mantle. When God parted the waters of the Jordan as Elisha smote the waters with Elijah's mantle, this was God's way of encouraging Elisha and of confirming the fact that he was a man of God. Let us see. Both were men of courage. Both were men of courage. Once, when some people were riding in a 4-engine propeller airplane over Kansas, 3 of the 4 engines conked out. Immediately, the cabin door opened and the pilot appeared with a parachute on his back. "Keep calm, folks, and don't panic," he ordered. "I'm going for help." So much for being a man of courage. But both Elijah and Elisha were men of courage. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 17 to 19, Ahab came to meet Elijah and was confronted with the prophet with the challenge of Mount Carmel in a contest between the true God Jehovah and the 450 prophets of Baal and 400 false prophets of Asherah. In other words, Elijah, speaking in the name of the Lord, challenged Ahab to gather the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the Asherah, a total of 850 false prophets, to Mount Carmel for a contest in the sight of all Israel as to which God was the true God. That is courage. What about Elisha? We are told in the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 15 that as Gehazi arose early in the morning in the city of Dothan to prepare for his master Elisha, he looked out of the window and saw the horses and chariots of the Syrians. Utterly terrified, he cried out in the same verse, in 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 15, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" To paraphrase, Gehazi was saying, "There is no escape. We have been trapped at last." But with complete courage, which of course bespeaks his constant fellowship with and close relationship to his God, with complete courage, Elisha spoke words that forevermore will be a comfort and encouragement to God's people in times of difficulty. "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 16. Are we men and women of courage? As a mother and daughter walked out of church one Sunday morning, the mother said, "That was a nice service. I really liked the soft piano music during the prayer." The little girl turned and asked her mother, that was a piano? The mother nodded, and the little girl said, oh, I thought God had put us on hold. We need never fear that God will put us on hold. Our God reaches down and enters our struggles with us. 2 Kings chapter 6 verses 17 to 18 says, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. Just as our God was with Elisha in the city of Dothan, he is with us to the ends of the earth, to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Have courage. We are running out of time, so we'll continue next week. But this slide summarizes the differences between Elijah and Elisha. Take a photo if you wish. As for the similarities between Elisha and Elijah, they are so far as follows. Both were men of faith. Both were men of God. Both were men of courage. Faith and courage are related. Faith and courage are related. Two ostriches were standing side by side, their heads in holes in the ground. One ostrich said to the other, how should I know if it's safe yet? How prophetic. Denial never gets you anywhere. No matter what the problem in your life, if you keep your head buried in the sand and fail to admit that there is a problem, you will never find a solution. It takes both courage and faith to look the problems of life in the eye. Do you look at the problems of life in the eye? Do you have the courage and the faith to look at the problems of life in the eye? There is no reason not to. Christ helps us face our personal problems and overcome them. Remember, he said in Matthew chapter 28 verse 20, lo, I am with you always. Lo, and that doesn't just mean low ground. I am with you always. Let's pray.